Good morning. Well, he's gone. Monsignor Lopez, the Blessed One, is gone. And you know how I know he's gone? Because the parade of food that was coming to the rectory has stopped. You know, I remember years ago hearing Monsignor Lopez give a talk. It was in front of a group of priests. A number of priests were there, and after he finished one of his impassioned talks, you know, and always as brilliant as the last one. And I remember this priest turned to me, and he poked me, and he said, "You know, only a fool would follow that guy." Well, here I am. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do me a favor, quietly, to yourself, I want you to think for 5 seconds, again, quietly, I want you to think of all your complaints. Now, again, quietly, in 5 seconds, I want you to think of all your blessings. Now let me ask you something. Which was easier to come up with? Our complaints or our blessings? The author, Hannah Whittle Smith, she once wrote, "The soul that gives thanks can find comfort in everything, but the soul that complains finds comfort in nothing." I can remember a few years ago, there was a book that was published, and it was entitled "A Complaint-Free World: How to Stop Complaining and Start Enjoying the Life You Always Wanted." And with the book, it came with one of those rubber bands, you know, those you see sometimes on the kids, one of those rubber bands. And the idea was, whenever you complained, you put that rubber band on. And the next complaint, you took it off and you put it to the other wrist. And this would go on all day long. The number of times you complained or had a negative comment, you kept switching it from wrist to wrist to give you an idea, to make you more aware how often we complain during the day. Now, I'm not sure if this book was a bestseller, but I can imagine it was not a very popular gift to receive at Christmas. But if you think about it, that book had a good point, didn't it? I mean, my friends, complaining and negative comments have become so commonplace, so epidemic in our society that people don't even hear themselves doing it anymore. And if you really want to be terrified, if you really want to be horrified, then go on to social media for 5 minutes and read some of the comment sections. Read what people are saying about people they either know or have never met. My friends, it's not only disheartening to read those things, it's sinful. It's sinful what people are saying about each other, to the point it's a mortal sin. That's why St. James warns us in today's second reading. Do not complain. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another. Do not complain that you may not be judged. My friends in Christ, could you just imagine standing before God one day and he renders to us the exact same penalty, this exact same judgment that we seem to give one another? Of course, as we're standing before him, we might ask the Heavenly Father, "Where is your mercy? Where is your great love?" To which our Lord may respond to us, "My child, I offer to you the exact same mercy, the exact same love that you so readily offered to those who bugged you, to those who bothered you, to those who had the audacity to be different from you." My friends, the honest truth is, no one's perfect. We all have our weaknesses and faults. And everyone in here, all of us, we all sin and we're all in need of a Redeemer. But as Christians, as people who truly believe in Jesus Christ, constantly complaining and saying negative comments, that should not be one of our sins. Because the truth is, Christ is our hope. He is our salvation. He is our reason to believe that no matter how bad things get, no matter how far we fall, Jesus Christ stands with each and every one of us. And to complain and say negative comments nonstop, that's to deny that very fact. Of course, one of our biggest reasons for complaining and saying negative comments about each other is generally it boils down to this. It's envy. We see someone who has something we do not, be it material goods or intellect or spirituality that we wish we had, and so we envy them. But my friends, instead of focusing, perhaps maybe instead of focusing on that person who has more, maybe, just maybe, we should try to consider focusing on those who have less. This past week at Monsignor Lopez's mission, he talked about three people. He spoke of a man who had ALS. He's dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. Every day he keeps getting weaker and weaker, but every single day he wakes up and he gives thanks to God. He spoke of a priest who was sent to a concentration camp. He was severely beaten and nearly starved, but this priest still found reason to rejoice. And he also spoke of a woman in South Africa. A woman in South Africa who watched her husband murdered right before her eyes. And yet she had found reason and the grace to be merciful. And you want to know what the source of their strength is for all of them? It was all found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave them reason to hope, to believe, and to carry on. And my friends, I tell you honestly, Jesus Christ can do the same for each and every one of us. Jesus Christ wants to do the same thing for all of us. In today's gospel reading, John the Baptist, he's already in prison. And let me tell you something. The prisons back then, they were not a cakewalk. He was chained to a wall where he couldn't even lay down or sit down. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was treated cruelly. But instead of focusing on all the abuses and the bad things that were going on in his life, all he really wanted to know was this one thing. Is he the one? Is Jesus the Messiah? And can't you only imagine the joy that entered into his heart when his disciples came with this answer? The blind regain their sight. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And most importantly, the poor have good news proclaimed to them. My friends, just imagine. Could you only imagine how different our lives would be if we could only learn from John the Baptist's example to see all things in our lives, good and bad, in relation to Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, no matter what our present suffering, no matter what trial we are going through, and no matter what disappointments that we have going in our lives, because of Jesus Christ, we have reason not only for optimism, but more importantly, we have reason to hope, knowing that this world and all its faults does not have the final say. That belongs to Jesus Christ. The soul that gives thanks finds comfort in everything, but the soul that complains finds comfort in nothing. Do you realize that every single Mass, at every single Mass you come to, Christ comes to us. Christ comes to us in the Word, in the gathering. Christ comes to us in the Eucharist. Christ comes to each and every one of us at every single mass, and yet we still find reason to complain. But still, at every single mass, whether you like or dislike the priest or the homily or the music or the other parishioners, all of these things still does not change that very fact, that one ultimate truth that Christ offers to each and every one of us, that gift of eternity. My friends, to focus on anything else, to focus on anything else during the Mass is to miss the whole point of being here. Like John the Baptist, we too need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to focus on the good things he brings and not the bad we must endure. The hardships of prison, the beatings, and everything else that was going wrong. John the Baptist, he brushed those all away like they were nothing, because in comparison to what Jesus Christ offered to him, in comparison what Jesus Christ offers to each and every one of us, everything else in this world, all that is good, all that is bad, everything else in comparison to Jesus Christ is meaningless. It means nothing. My friends, like you, I can offer you a litany of all the bad things that are going on in my own life. I can give you a litany of all the bad things that are going on in the world today, and I can hide under my bed, and I can wait for the end of the world to come. But like each and every one of you, I got up this morning. I got out of bed, and I gave thanks to God. I gave thanks to God because I remembered this day. This day we light the third candle. We light the third candle, and I wear this pink or rose vestment, and I knew it would give many of you reason to smile and rejoice, not only because how silly I feel, but more importantly, but most importantly, the lighting of that third candle, it reminds us that we have reason to hope. We have reason to believe. We have reason to rejoice, and that's in Jesus Christ. That's also that third candle reminds us our Savior is close at hand. And so no matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter how bleak things may seem, I promise you, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, no one and no thing can take that joy from any of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.